It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast live from the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. We're celebrating a Buccaneers victory, 6-5, relevant entering December, a true playoff performing team at this level. Ira, it's as unbelievable. And your podcast, of course, is now roaring here at JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeCamper. We're JoeBucksFan.com, and Ira, you are going to give us some extraordinary insight into the magnitude of this victory, Ira. We're just giddy over here.
Before I give any insight, gentlemen, I got to apologize to our listeners because I picked the Seahawks. Well, you know, and I picked the Chiefs last week. What's going on around here, gentlemen? Two major upsets, because 7-point, you know, underdogs is a major underdog. You know, you don't get double-digit underdogs unless New England's playing Cleveland. So that didn't happen. What they did this weekend, guys, is solidify that win at Kansas City. If they would have lost, nobody would have been talking about, you know, what happened at Arrowhead. Instead, from the opening kickoff, gentlemen, the Bucs were the better team. Seattle looked a little disinterested, a little frustrated. I've read some of the quotes from Seattle players. They're calling it a dud. It was a dud of a game. Well, that's fine from a Seattle standpoint. You know why it was a dud? Because the Bucs kicked their rear ends for 60 minutes. Guys, they did not convert a third down until there was 2 minutes left in the ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson's not used to being under that kind of pressure. The siege has begun, gentlemen. And Isbitz, did you use the P word, the dreaded P word, in your introduction today? None of the Bucks will talk about it, right, Lee?
No, ask not even tonight will they
talk
about, talk
about
no.
it. Absolutely not.
Well, look, you just beat two studs of the NFL, KC, Seattle. You're playing right now at a playoff caliber level. This was playoff caliber football out here. You know, they say defense wins championships. Bucks came out, smoked them, scored a touchdown on the first drive. Just marched down the field, and that was the game-winning drive. They tightened up, 14-5.
They've won 5 out of 7, Lee, 3 in a row. We're not used to this around these parts.
Are we? Well, we're not.
Before we go any further, I want to salute the people that came out to Ray J on Sunday. That was an outstanding passion that was on display. Nobody left early, and as I said in my column Sunday evening, Lee, even Miko Grimes can't have any complaints about Buck fans tonight.
Well, before we salute the fans, Ira, let's salute the proud sponsors of your podcast, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. They've put their name on you and everything you do for us at JoeBucksFan.com. Get Black Friday prices all month long, Ira. I'm out at the website, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, looking at these incredible deals, incredible opportunities. 2017 Cadillac XT5, just beautiful, $499 a month. All the details at EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, the only place to start your car shopping search. And about those fans, I know Lee has strong opinions on the fans here at the Den of Depression. And
Den of Depression.
Not yet. They got to win 5 games in a year. Not there yet.
There you go.
Getting there.
Yeah, I think Lee actually, I think 4 games is okay. Because if you don't have a losing season, then at home you can't really be depressed. So I think 4. I don't know. What do you
especially
think?
If they go 6-2 on the road, Lee?
I've already been on record with a lot of fans on Twitter. You can't call it Den of Depression, and I'm like, got to win 5 games. Got to win 5 games at home. So I've already put that down on record. As far as the fans, quickly, I know Justin Pawlowski has kind of started this, a guy who does a great podcast, Bucks Uncensored for us. And if you're not listening to that podcast, what's the matter with you? It's great. At any rate, Justin, and there's been other people on Twitter and on Facebook, kind of a social media kind of uprising, if you will, that Jameis was so great when the Chiefs fans were doing a tomahawk chop, which reminded them of Tallahassee. There's a great video on Buccaneers.com of him going crazy before the game, chopping and hollering and whatnot, that Bucs fans should do this on third downs when he has the ball. And you can hear that today. It wasn't loud, but you can hear it. It wasn't like 2 or 3 people. There must have been, what's this place hold, 60,000? I bet there was like 8,000 people doing a tomahawk chop when the Bucks, specifically Jameis, had the ball. So the crowd was into it. It was loud, and it felt like an NFL atmosphere here tonight.
And I thought the timing was great, guys, because who's famous for having the 12th man? The Seahawks. Yeah. And so they got a little taste of their own medicine, especially when their offense was on the field, Steve. This was one noisy din, and it looked like it affected, you know, the intricacies of their offense. They were a little out of kilter all day. Of course, that pass rush came strong. And as you mentioned, Steve, as we stand, gentlemen, they're a half a game off the Redskins for that number six spot. The Giants look pretty solid at 8-3, let's be honest. And the division, Steve, that you've been talking about is still up for grabs. Atlanta with a nice win today. Boy, they score a lot of points, the Falcons. Boy, do they score a lot of points. That is one heck of an offense.
Oh, I could say, well, I got to say about the Bucs real quick. I'm going to use your words. This was a dramatic statement, not just a statement. When you hold Russell Wilson to a field goal the whole stinking game, no one saw that coming. I mean, you know, you could argue, okay, the Bucs had a chance to win. You could say the Seahawks, the rushing attack was, or rush defense was, I mean, you could pick. You can nitpick a little bit and make a case for the Bucs beating the Seahawks. But there's nobody on God's green earth that would have said, you know what, Bucs are going to hold Russell Wilson to a field goal. Even Warren Sapp, Steve wrote the story Sunday night. Warren Sapp was like, we have never choked out a quarterback like that in his glory days. That, I'm telling you, you saw it coming last week when the Bucs beat the Chiefs. You saw some national runs starting. The Bucs started getting some notice. Albert Breer wrote a column. Peter King mentioned the Bucs a couple times. Jason McIntyre, the big lead, he said, here come the Bucs. Greg Bedard, Sports Illustrated, he used the same phrase, here come the Bucs. Well, now, after this win, the way they, in Sapp's words, choked out Russell Wilson, this is going to be the story of the week in the NFL.
I also heard Sapp say, Steven, this is the highest compliment that 99 can give to his fellow compadres. Way to hunt, gentlemen. Way to hunt. Sapp loves that word. He doesn't use it very often McDougal around here.
Bradley McDougal had the game of his life, I think.
Yeah, McDougal played very well today.
Well, I mean, look, the Seahawks came into this game with six turnovers on the season. They had four. Lost the ball four times today. Two fumbles, two picks. The Bucs had six sacks. I mean, come on. Sapp's got to love that. Think about this, Ira. Because I know you love these
the little nuggets.
Little nuggets. They just you know, you like them better than chicken nuggets. And I know how much you frequent McDonald's. Now, two drives into the third quarter, and Russell Wilson was 5-for-14 for 33 yards. Come on.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And I gotta confess, I mocked Blake Bortles for only having 30 yards passing at halftime. Russell Wilson? Unreal.
So now, Ira, the scope, because you know you're the guy here to give us the
ramification,
this perspective from 67 years covering the NFL.
last week it was
75 last week. So you're getting better. No, seriously. Now I think the half game back of the Redskins and the wild card, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's a full game. I mean, that, you know, unless the Bucs are going to tie or something else.
Well, if they reach 10, the Skins could be 9-6-1. They could be out. They could be out, Steve. That tie will come into play here. It will,
but they're a full game back right now. I mean, they're a game back at this point with five to play in the wild card, tied with Minnesota. But the Vikings have a much worse conference record. Bucs are 5-3
and conference. A game off the division lead.
Exactly. So, I mean, I still think the division is the path here. But, man, I did watch the first half of that Atlanta-Arizona game, and they just put a hurting on them in all phases. And Arizona's probably out now, so that's a good thing with the Bucs wild card. Also, with the Rams losing today, those were teams that had head-to-head advantage against the Bucs, and now they're way in the rearview mirror.
I'm going to give you this perspective, Steve, and I think it's valid.
Thank you, Ira.
Mr. Joseph Johnston.
Oh, I heard this.
Who has seen every Buck game since 1976. And by the way, that was a heck of a special last week on the 0-26.
Has he since 76?
Johnston is a Buck historian. And after the first quarter, Joseph Johnston marched into our little section of the press box and said to me and Martin Fennelly, gentlemen, this is a franchise-changing effort. And he said that after the first quarter. And we said, Joey, that's pretty strong. You're not prone to hyperbole. He said, the crowd, the way they're playing, the atmosphere, the feeling in this building, feels like 2002, gentlemen. It's been a long time since we said that. You know, people make fun of Jameis Winston. Steve, he's a phony with his family stuff.
Who?
The Winston Bashers.
Wow. Well.
If there are any left. And by the way, Marcus Mariota, going to be an outstanding quarterback. They're, guess what?
Both.
They're both very good.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both very good. You know, you can say, I think the Bucs made the right decision. Tennessee fans wouldn't trade Mariota for Winston. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're both going to be very good. But the fact is, when Winston talks about this being a family and playing for each other and having each other's backs, I don't think it's empty words. I think we're seeing it. We haven't seen a feeling out here like this, and not just because of the emotion about Werner.
No,
throughout the entire couple of weeks now, we've been seeing it.
I've heard defensive players say the same thing. And I, you know, say what you will about Jameis, but for a 22-year-old kid to write a letter, an individual letter for each team member, that really touched them. I think, you know, that really, talking to the defensive players, they were like, wow. You know, this guy's got my back. This guy's here for him. That really moved them. And
he threw a bad pass today. He made a bad decision.
Yeah, dumb
decision. Could have hurt.
If not for a stupid penalty by Dotson. I like the guy, but that was a dumb penalty. That play would never happen. It would have been a touchdown.
I got to say.
But other than that, Steve, he played very well.
I'm not a Jameis basher. Maybe his biggest fan. But you know what? The family stuff and the hokey pokey crap. It's nice. It's nice, but you know what? I'm not a believer in all that just yet. I mean, I see
that's because you're a jaded 65-year-old man.
Now you're throwing the years on me. All right, now, no, but in all seriousness, okay? Yeah, the Bucks have won three in a row, and family is the word of November. Okay, the last time this team was talking about family, and a certain head coach passed out bracelets that all said family on it. And Gerald McCoy was talking, we're a family. And they started out 6-4. And they used to, you know, put their arms up and go, family, 1, 2, 3. That was Greg Schiano 2012. Okay? Now, don't tell me that was phony family stuff when they were 6-4. On top of the league after they beat the Vikings on Thursday.
Phony was the quarterback.
That was Josh Freeman under center, and now I got Jameis Winston
under center. I'm just saying, look, this game is still about being healthy, being talented, making plays. The Bucs defense is ridiculously healthy. Ridiculously healthy. It's come together. You know, that they're not miscommunicating it anymore. Playing good ball. They got these guys moving around, doing stuff. And you've got.
Have we mentioned the Bucs' best player, by the way, named Mike Evans?
You got a franchise quarterback, and Mike Evans has Pro Bowl stats this year, and we still have five games left. So you know what? You know the family stuff's great. Maybe that'll help them push them over the top. But right now, they're talented. They're playing well. They're executing. That's why.
But they're playing with energy, Lee.
Renewed.
Renewed energy, passion. And that brings us to Isbitz's favorite topic. He's been saying it every week now for about 8 weeks.
Cheerleaders?
beer? Where's the meter on Mike Smith and his chances to come back as a head coach?
It took a hit
today.
Well,
you know what? The arrow's going the other way now for mm-hmm. three straight weeks. I call it passive-aggressive. I'll stick with that. Even Smith admits they were passive. And I'm sure he heard it from the players, too. They'll never admit that. He heard it from the players. And you know what? After the Atlanta debacle, which followed up on the Oakland debacle, mm-hmm. he made a change. Mike Smith
made
a change.
Back. He dialed things back.
He changed the scheme and told them, stop with the 9-yard cushions, gentlemen. We're going to go after this. And ever since then, it's been a different defense.
It's called coaching, Ira. Yeah, you know what? Part of why I'm jaded is I finally watched Chuck Knoll on America's Game.
Oh, I missed that.
Did you see that? Have you seen that late?
I did see it, and I recorded it and watched it again.
That's Tony Dungy's mentor.
And Chuck Knoll, one of Chuck Knoll's deals was, if I have to motivate you, I'll just cut
fire
you.
Fire you.
I'll cut you.
Yep, I'll fire you.
You know, you're not going to hear a motivational speech from me, and I get it, but I like where the Bucks are. This is a healthy place. Now, Ira, at this point, 5 games left. Bucks are 6-5. What is a satisfactory finish to you? What should this team finish out and hold their heads high and have every
fan celebrate?
You know what?
I'm so glad you asked that, Stephen, because on your marvelous website, which is growing by the day, I believe you guys ran a poll the other day, and I looked at it, and I wanted to see the results. So I clicked on results.
Thank you.
And voila. What do I see? Voila. The number one record for satisfaction is 8-8. I almost spit up on my computer. I would have needed a new computer. That is That is wrong, gentlemen. That is part of what's wrong with Buck Nation.
So you need it bicarbonate?
I'm sorry. When you're 5-5, I want playoffs. I want big games. I don't want 8-8.
Well, that shows you how beat down this fan base is.
We're beaten down, Steve. And, you know, I come from a good place. I come from 1997 to 2002.
I thought you were going to say Brooklyn.
that goes without saying. But Muriel Berkowitz down the street. Steve, to be honest, Lee, 8-8? 8-8 is cartwheels down Dale Mabry? What's going on with this town?
That's how beaten down the fan
base
is.
Run that poll again this week, gentlemen, and I guarantee 8-8's not going to win.
All right, Kaufman, you're not in charge of the polls. Stop it. No, look, Lee's 100% on the money. That poll surprised me a little bit, too, but it really illustrated, and there were 2,000 votes in that poll. That's how beaten down the fan base is that they looked at 5-5, coming off a massive road win against a contender, and said, well, you know what? If we can close this thing out
if we can go 500, 3-3, and 8-8,
I'll be happy with the season. And I get the mentality of it's been so lousy.
That's a poll that you'd expect before the season started.
Yeah.
We like 8-8. Okay.
It was about, for those who didn't see it, it was about 47% voted, said 8-8 would make them happy. And that was the top response, which, wow, half the fans were okay with
8-8. I was surprised by that, Lee. I was surprised by it.
A little bit, yeah.
A little window into the soul of Bucs fans, Ira, the tortured soul of Buccaneers fans.
I guarantee that's changed after a day like this. And you're right, Lee. After today and you beat down Seattle, you know, going into heck, ESPN might even start talking about the Bucs rather than showing me Russell Westbrook highlights every night.
Well, Jeff Darlington. Jeff Darlington, the pride of Seminole High School, was here today. And people don't know, Jeff Darlington no longer works for the NFL Network. He works for the Four Letter. And so they're already paying attention.
Who knows what crew they'll give you gentlemen out in San Diego. I'm sure Joe Bucs fan will be on site.
I shall be.
In San Diego, Mr. DeKemper.
Maybe we might be graced with Britt McHenry.
That'll be very interesting to see.
I was thinking about the analyst and the play-by-play, and he's already on the sideline reporting. You see the difference over there, Steven?
He's on cheerleaders. So
I think, actually, at this point, you know, that Bucs game coming up in December at the Cowboys, they might get flexed up to a night game. I mean, that could be a huge game.
The last time the Bucs were
game.
Flexed.
They never have been.
In a way to maximize their coverage.
They never have been, but the Cowboys equals ratings. So the Cowboys could be playing the Browns, and NBC would pull in eyeballs.
Gentlemen,
Steve's on. I never thought of this. Steve's on to something.
Good point.
Steve's on to something.
Now, Lee, other than the Dallas game, and of course they've won 10 in a row. I mean, I watched them Thursday. That is a very difficult offense to deal with. And Marinelli's doing an excellent job. On the other side of the ball. And, of course, they're well-rested on the other side of the ball because they're always on offense. But as I pointed out, gentlemen, the other four games, the teams have a combined record of 19-25. So it's all there in front of the Bucs. Do I expect them to win in Dallas? No, but all bets are off after the last 2 weeks.
We didn't expect this tonight.
They beat up on a very good Seattle team. And Lee, more importantly, they out-physicaled them.
Yes.
They beat them up. And DeMar Dotson said they're bullies.
I can't remember who I spoke with before the game. And it may have been, you know, I think Steve was telling me what Jason Light might have been saying before the game, that most teams, when they get done playing Seattle, they're bruised and beaten up. And it was the Bucs who delivered the bruising tonight.
Zero sacks for the Seahawks. The same protection we saw in front of Jameis against the Chiefs. That's 2 weeks in a row.
The offensive line's much maligned. I don't know if it's because fans read that piece of tripe known as PFF, or they just got to harp on something, or they expect absolute perfection every play. But gosh darn it, this offensive line, fans jump down their case. Damn it, they're getting the job done. Jameis gets hit. He gets hit. Why look at sacks? You know what? This offense is built around 7-step drops. That's why Jameis is getting hit. Even Jameis admits he gets hit on his, you know.
I don't think Jameis Winston's gotten beaten up this year.
No,
Steve.
I
wouldn't say that.
You got fans out there they're just on this soapbox that this offensive line is like it was when Lovey was around with that clown at left tackle that PFF celebrated as the best free agent pick.
Steve, speaking about Lee's offensive line, I'm driving in today and I go to lot number 5, and lo and behold, I see a bunch of people throwing a football around. They're having a little barbecue.
Jared Sweezy,
to my spot, And some guy yells out, "Hey, Kaufman, hey, Ira, what's going on?" I walk over. It's the Ali Marpet family. Ah. They're all there.
Nice. They recognize
including
you?
His father.
Well, don't they live around here? His sister lives in St. Pete?
The father has a place in St. Pete.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sister goes to Eckert, right?
Yeah, I said, "You're a long way from Hobart, Mr. Marpet." And he goes, "Oh, I read Joe Buck's fan. I know everything that's going on. I read your stuff." I said, "Your son's having a heck of a year. Maybe a Pro Bowl season."
Should be.
And even they said, now this is how much these guys know about football. They said, "You know what? He might be a year away in terms of recognition. First you get a name, and then you get voted in." So I'll tell you what, it wouldn't hurt Marpet's chances if the Bucks end up 10-6.
Oh, that would certainly help. And Peter Schrager, you know Peter, I guess, great guy, works for NFL Network and Fox Sports. And he was talking up Marpet last week. He did a feature on him and said, "This guy's under the radar. This guy ought to be a Pro Bowler."
Is there a consensus that Marpet has been the Bucs' best offensive lineman, Steve?
Well, if you remember earlier this year, Cutter, I think it was at the bye week, came out and said that, believe it or not, our internal grading showed that Pamphile was the number one offensive lineman. Of course, he missed two games, came back against Seattle, and that was a big impact there. He had an excellent, excellent game. I actually talked to him and... fans can look at yesterday's JoeBucksFan.com and see my Q&A one-on-one with Kevin Pamphile. But Marpet's had a great year. And has he been that much better than Pamphile when they've been on the field? Probably not. But he's playing great. And he deserves the recognition.
For the most part, Lee, they've been healthy.
That's key.
A big plus.
Better than most. Healthier than most.
Better than most. Holly's head's gotten dinged up. Evan Smith's gotten dinged up. But they've survived.
Yeah, I mean, look... Marpet's the real deal. Donovan Smith still has not missed a snap. Cliff Averill, he had 10 sacks coming into this game against the Seahawks.
Never heard his name.
You hear his name today?
Dotson has rebounded from the Chicago game.
He did.
He still makes some silly penalties, which was evidenced Sunday evening.
Yeah, I mean, look, Lee and I have been adamant for years that DeMar Dotson is a nothing special right tackle. Nice player. He's got low mileage for a 31-year-old on his legs. But he's just pretty good, and I don't expect anything more from him.
Yeah, Steve and I always thought, and it's no knock on him. He's one of the nicest guys you ever run into. He's an okay player. Nothing special, to quote Steve. Okay, nothing right home
when
about.
When can we expect the Bucks to open negotiations with Mike Evans's agent, gentlemen? next summer?
That's not how it goes, Ira. Not how it goes in this league. I don't think they'll slap that fifth year on him, that option, and then. After his fourth year, they'll sign a new deal.
He's going to be a very wealthy young man, though, Steve.
He already is. I mean, all these guys are. But, yeah, he's going to be a very, very rich man. I mean, at this point, Ira, as you are the sage of this podcast, is he elite right now? Do you put him into the top five?
He's absolutely elite.
He did a month.
One week I see Julio Jones, I say he's the best. Next week I see Antonio Brown, I say he's the best. Mm-hmm. He's coming off a 3-touchdown performance, AAB. I think Evans is at the next level. He's a notch below. AJ Green is in there.
Yeah, unfortunately he got hurt.
Guys like that, but I think Evans has been sensational this season.
I think Evans is on par with AJ Green. I think that's fair.
I think
whether
it's fair.
Whether it's Antonio Brown or Julio Jones, I don't know about that, but that's no shame in saying that. But AJ Green, I think he's on par with him. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just through these 11 games, over 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns.
He's a totally different player than last year.
And he's done
totally
it against.
Credit to Monken.
He's done it against everybody. And as I wrote.
And Sherman.
As I wrote on JoeBucksFan.com, just imagine next year when they actually get a legitimate threat opposite him.
As opposed to Cecil Shorts.
As opposed to Cecil Shorts.
You mean either in draft or free agency.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that should open things up even more.
And the Bucks are going to have money to spend this fall.
And Brate had another touchdown taken away from him today, right? He could have had another one.
He did. Cameron Brate. Now, Ira, now look, we need your in-depth insight here. People are losing their minds. The Bucks are 6-5, and everybody wants to know if this thing is for real.
You said it 15 minutes ago. Look who they've just beaten. How can you say it's not for
real? All right, so what are we looking at here?
You go to San Diego, you beat them by 10 points, as you should.
So should the Bucks lose another game here?
Yeah.
We got one winning team left on the schedule, the Cowboys. So are they closing out 4-1?
a lot of people don't think anybody's going to beat Dallas in Dallas, including in the NFC title game. And that could be a whale of a game.
Well, I wouldn't think so. Well, real quick, when's a rookie ever played in a Super Bowl quarterback? I don't think there ever has been one. So tap the brakes there. But I mean, I know what you're saying.
Roethlisberger?
No, he lost in the AFC Championship game to Belichick. Okay, okay. I think he threw like three picks that game, but close.
Dallas and Dallas is a very tall order, Steve. A very tall order. As good as the Bucs defense is playing, that's the best offensive line in football. Nobody's even close.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge drop-off between Dallas and any other offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're healthy.
Now, Steve
and they've invested a lot of resources in that offensive line. Now they're reaping the dividends. Even last year, the Cowboys went 4-12. The offensive line was decent. Mm-hmm. They had no quarterback.
Had no quarterback.
Zero quarterback.
Now Steve is petrified of Drew Brees. Especially after what he did today.
I can't stop talking about Drew Brees. I'm glad you're mentioning it too, Steve, because, and I said it today at when I was chowing down on my third helping of lunch.
Which was it? Was it the chicken by the way, or the turkey?
Nobody puts out a spread like this, Steve.
Or
nobody.
San Francisco is a rival to the Tampa Bay.
Maybe you get some cappuccino over
if
there.
If I can, real quick, Ira, before we hit Drew Brees, if I can remind you from the last podcast, okay, you did say that if the Bucs beat the Seahawks, you will march into One Buck Place on Monday and demand some oatmeal in the cafeteria.
I'm not going to be at Buck Place to demand the oatmeal, but I will have it on a standing order for Wednesday. Let me make my point about Drew Brees, gentlemen.
Yeah, Drew Brees.
And tell me if I'm off base. I don't think I am.
Absolutely.
That might be a 3-13 team without Drew Brees.
That's not a good team. It's a terrible team without Drew Brees.
Not a good team. Defense, not very good. Ingram is an okay running back.
Okay.
The receivers,
okay.
Brandon Cooks. I mean, if he was on the Eagles, you never hear of the guy. He's like Brady. He makes everybody around him better.
Mm-hmm.
Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he's around, the Saints are dangerous. And the Bucs got him twice. That's a little scary. A little bit scary.
I don't think it's outrageous to say the Bucs will split with the Saints.
I don't think that's acceptable. But Steve, I'm expecting a 4-1 finish here.
All right, now we've got it on the record. Finally,
this is a man who picked the Bucks to go 7-9. Isbit, so I'm proud of that.
So now you're calling a 10-win season right now. It's November 27th.
I'm Raheem Morris. It's Bucks a race
got,
to 10.
Bucks
and
got
no Raheem preseason doesn't count. That was my question. What
did Raheem add? He goes, yeah, I'll say it. When he said they were the best in the division?
Yeah, best in the NFC, he said. Best in the NFC.
Yeah, I said it.
all right. Yeah,
and who's Carolina, Steve, at this point? No. Are they really going to be playing for anything?
No, they've lost so many tough games.
They lost
choked
another
again
one today.
Choked away a game in the fourth quarter again today.
It's hard to believe that just the exit of Josh Norman has collapsed an entire
Yeah, 4-7. Boy, they could finish 6-10 very easily.
I mean, from choking today... And look what happened on opening day, that game against the – they easily could have, should have won that game. That was choked away as well against the Broncos. A lot of – and tough losses in between. They choked.
Keekly. Nobody choked knows what's
Bucks.
Going
they
on with
choked
Keekly.
Against the Bucks.
And you know what? Cam Newton's not having a very good season.
No.
He's not.
No. But, yeah, it's
– I think Winston's having a better year than Cam Newton.
I agree.
Any day of the week,
I agree.
Steve.
Oh, absolutely. And I think right now Jameis is a Pro Bowler again, going back for his second trip. Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
You don't think so?
Hold on.
You know there's going to be about 8 quarterbacks that are going to – they aren't going to
Orlando. Well, Matt Ryan's not going anywhere, and Drew Brees isn't going anywhere except to Orlando. So that's
if
2.
If they go to Orlando.
Okay,
yeah,
would
you 2. Take Winston over Dak Prescott? Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, because people expected the Cowboys to be contenders.
I mean, Jameis doesn't have that kind of running game that Prescott
has. No, he does not.
He does not.
As of today, I would say maybe.
You know, Russell maybe. Wilson, gentlemen.
Yeah, but look what the Bucs
today, notwithstanding, yeah. Gentlemen, notwithstanding.
Well, again, like last year, how many guys bailed on the Pro Bowl? And that was when it was in Hawaii. Steve, now you got in Orlando. Who the hell wants to go to Orlando?
Let's not get carried away now. The NFC's difficult. Eli Manning.
Eli's good.
All right, Ira, calm down.
You want to put 7 quarterbacks on your NFC roster, Isbit? You got a shot.
All right, you could make a case for Jameis.
I think Jameis Winston is he bounced back strong.
The past month and a half has been... Well,
after that Denver game, I think the Denver game was his last bad game, Steve. I mean, that's a long time ago.
Yes. Last bad game.
Bad game.
He didn't have a great game against Carolina, but a bad game, yeah, Denver was his last bad game.
He's being careful with the ball. He is being careful with the ball.
Yeah, he wasn't so hot against Oakland. I'm trying to remember. He was all right.
But he wasn't bad.
No, not the point. The Saints, as Lee mentioned, they scare me because they're a team that puts up points on everyone. And I think if you put the Bucs into a pressure situation where you have to score, that's not how they've been winning games. The last two games, they haven't won.
You're not
going
to beat the Saints 14-5, Lee. No. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
No, you got to
score. They
put
up 49 on a good Rams defense, right, Steve? 49.
Yeah, they're a tough matchup for the Bucs.
A good Rams defense, but then again, Sean Payton knows that defensive coordinator like he knows his own son. Knows him back and forth.
And let's not get into the whole Jeff Fisher argument, gentlemen. Should he be back next year? We've been talking about this for years.
Well, okay, now, there was all sorts of rumors from legitimate sources, you know, the Peter Kings of the world, people like that he was going to redo his contract. Florio put out something today, Mike Florio, the great Mike Florio. And if people still don't know who the great Mike Florio is, he's the guru of ProFootballTalk.com. The guru, there's something else I call him, the guru. At any rate, he put out that he has not signed a new contract. Interesting.
Yeah. I think his time should be up.
Sure.
Let him be a college coach. I mean, really, let him be a college coach.
Would he be
coach.
A college coach? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see.
You also look at the Saints Sunday, Ira. Mark Ingram, 14 carries for 146 yards.
He's a little better than I thought he'd be as a pro. I didn't think he'd be
They've become a little more balanced lately.
Yes.
And it's a tough matchup for the Bucs, but we'll see. It's still a couple of weeks away.
I think Jameis will have a good game against the Saints defense.
Now, Ira, who doesn't? If I can use the B word, and I'll
we already used the P word.
Well, we'll say boner for B word.
This is supposed to be in a PG rated.
you see those in PG movies,
all right?
Or you hear, but you say they hear that word. You don't see them.
Yeah,
Brian Anger, the punter.
Yes.
Yeah, you're hot on this guy.
I am.
You're a special teams kind of guy.
A very quiet Jason Light offseason move, Lee, that has paid big dividends. He is a major upgrade on Shum, whatever you want to call him. Anger's been one of the best punters in football this year. Four kicks on Sunday, Steve, four inside the 20, including one that Cutter was marveling at, how he even got the ball off. Never mind, put the ball inside the 10-yard line. Has this guy ever had a bad game?
No, he's not. You could make an argument he might be the best Bucs player.
Whoa,
the punter?
Whoa, take it easy there, Lee.
Granted, a punter is you know, they're not human beings.
Well, but, I mean, I got my guy Evans. You know, he's going to be tough to beat.
And who is a better punter this year in the NFL? We just talked about this. Antonio Brown, you could say, is better than Evans. You could say Julio Jones is better than Evans. You could make an argument AJ Green, unfortunately, he's hurt, was better than Evans. Not by much, but better. Name three guy punters better than Anger.
He's been everything the Bucs expected, gentlemen, and a little more. Got him from the Jags. God knows Anger's glad to be with a team that's not 2-9.
Oh, my gosh.
Instead, he's with a 6-5.
Speaking of coaches need to be gone, how's Gus Bradley hanging?
He'll be done. He'll be done in a month. Bucs specialty, and you didn't mention your favorite, Steve.
Well, all
Roberto
right.
Aguayo.
All right, so you love Anger. I was going to go there next.
Love Anger.
Aguayo. Now, look, I've seen farm chickens with better range than Roberto Aguayo.
That's a heck of a line, Steve.
Now,
he
missed a key field goal today. He has no 50-yarders this year through 11 games. Lee and I are performing the intense research to figure out if a kicker has ever gone through an NFL season, but the last one to go through a season with no 50-yard kicks. We're working on that real diligently.
No made or not even
attempted?
Made. All right.
Here's one for you. Steve, and I told this.
I don't think you're going to have to go back too far on that.
Well, Steve and I were talking about this, and I threw out, I said, I think it's going to be the straightaway kickers back in the 60s and 70s. They were pretty accurate, but they didn't have long range like the center.
I think you're going to find a guy with limited range in the pros that doesn't really kick past 50
yards. I'm going to quiz you, Mr. Canton.
The answer is Jan Stenerud.
No.
What's your question?
There is a kicker. I'll give you the year, 1976. He was 0-1 and only had one attempt over 50 yards. He was 0-1. It was a playoff team. It was a juggernaut of a team. See if you can guess who that was, 1976.
Well, it could be the Raiders.
It was not the Raiders.
All right, it was not the Raiders. It was not the Steelers.
No.
It was not the Vikings.
Yes.
There you go.
Mr. Cox.
Fred Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's original research over there, Steve.
But I do
give this man a Cadillac.
I don't even have a Catalan. I agree with you, though, that it won't take, you know, it won't have to go too far back.
I don't think you will.
To find a kicker, only because you'll have a guy who didn't have 50 plus range, so his team didn't give him a lot of shots because they knew, hey, he's money within 50. We won't take many shots. I could see.
Or they didn't need to. A good offense.
But at this point, Aguayo, I believe it was a 47 yarder he missed today. Wide right.
Guys miss 47 yarders, Steve.
Yes, but what's his range? He's got like one 40 yard field goal, like two all year.
His range is the range that he showed in Tallahassee, gentlemen. He's supposed to be very accurate from like 45 yards in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the book on him. Nobody ever compared him to Janikowski in terms of a leg. That's not
true.
His reputation. But make the ones you're supposed to make, sure. And that's what was so troublesome the first month of the season.
Yeah, which he didn't do today. This was troublesome. We're trying to be a playoff team here. We can't kick the field goal.
Steve, with all due respect, the 47-yarder lead's not a chip shot. Guys miss it all over the league.
Well, I don't know if the word mulligan is apt here, but I will give him a mulligan because he was, what, 5 of 6? He'd gone, I don't know how many games without a miss or with one miss, so he had another miss. 2 out of what, 7?
It could have cost them, Steve, because it was a low-scoring game that the Seahawks were hanging around.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they could have used that field goal, mm-hmm. No question about it. But you're nitpicking, Steve. You're nitpicking right now.
Nitpicking.
You're nitpicking.
Nitpicking.
If that's your biggest blemish out of a buck Sunday, is the kicker missed the 47-yard
field goal. Well, it's a big blemish because it's points.
We were talking special teams. So, punter, up high, Aguayo low.
What about the Gunners?
Coverage teams were phenomenal. I mean, what Josh Robinson and
Russell
Shepard are doing on these coverage teams.
How did Josh Robinson get down on that punt so fast?
I don't know, but that block was beautiful.
He must have 9.2 speed, Steve.
That block was beautiful.
Man, I'm telling you. A very well-rounded win for the Bucs.
It was.
Just like last week's. I think they played even better today, Lee.
No question. I agree. They played better today. The results may not look like it. At face value, look at the box score, look at the score. You won't be impressed. But the eyeball test, they played better.
Did you think after late first quarter that the Bucs were going to lose this game? Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Up until the midway through the fourth quarter. You know, I'm a Bernie Bush kind of guy. I said that on radio. They took that
so
a different way.
So you've seen it too many times.
You've seen it too many times. You know, it's like, you got to prove it to me first. Steve? And Steve kept saying, Lee, I'm positive they're going to win it.
Yeah,
I'm
I was very, very upbeat. Just for me anyway, the dominance of the defense, you know. I just looked at it like, man.
Can't get anything going.
Well, they had put such a beating on Russell Wilson that, you know, a lot of times quarterbacks get rattled after that. It's just not. There was nothing smooth about, obviously, what Seattle was doing.
Who's jumping out on defense, gentlemen? Who's jumping out?
Well, Grimes jumps out at me. Noah Spence, he's really turned the corner. Here we go, Noah Spence. And I kind of kidded him about this in the locker room, and he didn't want to go there. He was sheepish about it, got embarrassed. I said, if you're not careful, man, you're going to get 10 sacks. And he's got 5.5 now. He leads all rookie defensive ends with the most sacks. Guy from Jacksonville has 5.5. I always forget his name. Yannick something or other.
Right.
Who I know the Bucks were interested in. Man, if you had Spence and his Yannick character, look out. But at any rate, they decided to go with the kicker.
Lee says McDougal's playing better. I think he is playing
McDougal
better.
McDougal had a hell of a game. I don't know about last few weeks, but McDougal had an excellent game today. A pass interference call notwithstanding. You're asking about, I was talking about Noah Spence. Joey Bosa has 4.5 sacks. This Yannick guy character, he's got 5.5, or he's got 5. And Noah Spence has 5.5.
I have no problem with the way Spence is coming around us, Steve, for his rookie season.
No. Hey, guy's producing. He's getting better, getting acclimated. We know he's been playing with a bum shoulder, but I don't know if he had his harness on today or not.
I didn't
not.
See him with the harness on, but I do know that Robert Ayers and Golston, you know, when I was joking around with those guys, I said, this guy's not careful. He's going to get 10 sacks. And they're like, you damn right he's got a chance.
Just a note, Ira, Aguayo's longest field goal this year, 43 yards. That's not acceptable.
That's a little short.
That's a little short. Thank you.
Good to see number 54 get involved.
LeBron Thankfully.
David.
Not only did he make a play, he made a hell of a play.
Now, Hargraves upended him.
Yes.
Upended him. Nice play by the rookie. And then, you know, a lot of people didn't notice this, but David knocked that ball out with his knee.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was deliberate, but it happened.
We'll take it.
And what a return.
And what a return.
53-yard return. Now, here's one for you to talk about. And this gets fans' rocks off when about Gerald McCoy. Like, make a play in crunch time. He got a sack in crunch time. And McCoy did something I never saw before. All the Bucks came off the field, pregame warm-ups. They all came off the field. The only guy left was Gerald McCoy. He knelt down at midfield on the Buccaneer flag and did some kind of, it almost looked like a religious thing. He got down, he kissed the ground, and then he kind of like did the Platoon, the movie poster for Platoon, with the guy's on his knees with his arm raised to the sky. And I was like, what kind of routine was this? And I didn't get a chance to ask
him.
Now,
wait a minute. I don't want him to reflect Platoon too much, because that guy got plugged with about 47 bullet holes.
But that was
Elias. Elias.
But you know the poster for that, the movie poster. He's on his knees, arms raised to the air. That's what McCoy was doing on the Buccaneer emblem midfield.
McCoy was very emotional today, Steve.
Yes.
Pre-game, post-game, and he played with some emotion during the game.
He's been emotional for a few weeks now, really. He was very sort of subdued emotional in the Kansas City locker room. I think he's taken a different approach, more of just like a more somber veteran. I don't know.
I've noticed that before.
It's interesting.
You mean a newfound maturity?
Yeah, it seems that way.
Well, I've noticed that before.
More natural, too.
What Steve is saying, at least on the road, I've noticed. Not so much at home, but I've noticed on the road. When the Bucks do win on the road, and of late, that's up until the last couple weeks, that's all they've ever done is win on the road. They couldn't win at home. But it was like some sort of inner satisfaction. Like he was like, you know, just like a breath of fresh air. Only he's savoring the moment. He's leaning back and not saying much, just savoring the atmosphere and the environment and the wind. Almost like a Zen type of thing.
Oh, he's got a Zen reference, Steve. We have not talked about the dynamic moment of Werner's interception, Steve, and what happened after that with all the players coming out and Werner overcome with emotion. I tell you what, you know, I'm a hardened Brooklynite. I almost shed a tear. I mean, it was a very special moment.
I got a picture I uploaded on JoeBucksFan.com Instagram timeline, for lack of a better word. I got a picture, you know, when he came out the field, Sapp ran into the tunnel and bear hugged him and embraced
him. Last time I shed a tear like that, Steve, was when the Cubs rallied against the Giants at AT&T with eliminated my Giants from contention in game four.
I thought you were going to say when you went to Bennigan's, you didn't get your birthday discount.
See, I can be emotional, Steve.
I thought you were going to say the last time you saw your paycheck.
No, it was a very special moment, Steve.
Yeah,
for Werner. And Werner's been playing well.
Now, a couple of fans Twittered me this, and I don't know if I will buy it. He played himself back on the roster for next year. I'm not buying it unless it is a reworked contract, because that's $6 million for a backup.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Maybe the next five games tell the tale.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. But you know what? In Kansas City, he played a lot because Grimes went down. Grimes was back today, but Werner got a little more time than he used to, and obviously they were covering on the nickel for Jude AJ Barima. When nobody even thought about his loss today, and the loss of him, which is pretty stunning. Not that he's a superstar, but just that they didn't bat an eyelash there. Great day for Werner, because especially since he didn't get a ton of opportunities, but he made the most of them. And you know, look, if he can be in the mix now as a guy with a lot of experience and some Pro Bowl caliber talent, what a great way to finish up here.
All I know is they're 6-5, Lee, and it has a different feeling than last year when they were 6-6 and they fell on their swords.
Because they couldn't stop anybody.
You know, Winston is a different quarterback. He's more mature. He's got everybody's attention. Evans is a different player this year. That doesn't mean, Lee, they can't finish 8-8. They can finish 8-8.
Yeah, it can still happen.
I think that would be disappointing.
It would. Now, since you brought this up, it's got a different feel than last year, and I totally agree. You know, you've mentioned this, you know, 70% completion percentage the Bucks defense gave up last
77
year.
Down the stretch.
I just for our listeners, in case they don't know, and the few frauds that are out there who are still screaming that the Bucks got rid of the wrong coach, i.e. Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith's Fighting Illini finished dead last in the Big Ten in defensive pass completion percentage. Last year, under a joke of a coach who was an abuser, that's why he got fired, he abused players, they were third in the Big Ten. This year, Lovey, dead last in the Big Ten. Worse than Rutgers, worse than Purdue, worse than Northwestern, worse than Indiana. And 2 years before that, what did Lovey's defense do? Same thing, last in the NFL. You see a pattern here? They got rid of the right coach, the Glazers.
Cutter's resurrected himself here, Steve.
Yeah, I think that's really the big story out of this game is the culture has changed. And we were all, Cutter himself said, hey, the culture here is wrong.
You're not big on culture, Steven.
Well, but that's the
he's not in the Mona Lisa stuff.
No, the family the stuff family and the stuff. Players talking about that.
All right.
Cutter was talking about the whole mindset from practice to everything else.
More accountability.
I think his style of coaching has set in. You know, it starts and ends with him. So you know, Gerald McCoy crying in the shower, like Jameis said. Okay, those are anecdotal stuff. Big picture here is Cutter's won three in a row. Turned around every element of this team, every phase of the team. And I still come back to, you look at the wide receivers, even in this game, outside of Mike Evans, they got nobody. I'm not going to pretend.
Guys off the street.
They got Humphreys, a walk-on. He had one catch. Shepard, two catches, nothing special. One was even at the end.
Shorts
with one catch. That's it from the wide receivers. They got nothing. And they're still, Mike Evans is still lighting it up against this secondary. It's stunning.
He's a man on a mission, Evans. You can see it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
You saw it from week one.
Excellent play calling by Cutter. Matt, yes. You know, with the confidence level of this offense.
With the exception of a third and one, he throws a toss pitch to Martin.
Yeah, overall.
Yeah.
And, you know, he learned his lessons from asking Jameis to throw 45 balls. That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. And I don't want to hear that they were behind and this and that. They had no balance. They had no balance, mm-hmm. Steve, the first 5 weeks of the year. And that's changed around, too. And that helps the defense.
Of course it does.
I'll say this today, Ira. The only thing that was like to see better, not much of a run game today. They averaged 3.4 yards a carry, which is...
They're playing a very good defense. They're playing a very good defense.
Yes, but 3.4 yards a carry was under the 3.5 yards a carry that Seattle was averaging. And the Bucs were connecting in the passing game. Should have opened some things up a little bit more. Doug Martin, three games back, he hasn't broken a run.
87 yards for Doug Martin. That's not a bad day's work, Lee. It's not a bad day's
against
work.
Against his defense, pedestrian. Not bad, not good either.
I'd like to see more.
Yes.
The guy has set a superstar bar in past years. They're paying him like a superstar. We need a superstar game.